I love the way that Paul says, I'm talking to you in human terms because of your natural limitations. I mean, if anyone can understand what he was writing there, let me know. And clearly I'm more human limited than Paul felt in his times. Anyway, like most of his writing. I want to just start with a prayer. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth, but yours. Amen. That's some of you may be familiar with that prayer, but that's one of the prayers of Teresa, St. Teresa of Avila. And through reflecting through this gospel, it sort of came to me this week. And I hope you will indulge me. I know you can't change that because I'm preaching and you've got to listen, so you've got to go with me. But the last few weeks, it's kind of been a slightly running theme. And our very short gospel, it kind of draws together what we've been hearing the last few weeks, this speech from Jesus to his disciples, which is his sending out. He is sending them out to do their mission, to go out into the world. And as we've heard, there's a sort of been some positives and there's been some negatives and there's been some warnings. But one of the things that has kept sort of coming back to me is that notion that Jesus can't do it all by himself. And that's kind of where that prayer came to me, that Jesus, who is the Son of God, I mean, he's the one who created everything, like this wood and me and you, but he can't do it all himself. He needs us to kind of do the work for him. He needs us to be his hands, his feet, his eyes. And that's just in itself. I should probably stop talking now and sit down, because in a sense that is just such an amazing reflection, and one that I think I would ask you to hold maybe this week. What does it mean, just us and for you to be, if you like, God's agent on earth? Because Jesus can't do it on his own. The one who sees everything, knows everything, can create something like that, still needs us. It's quite scary, isn't it? He needs me. That's even more scary. At the end of this sending out speech, we hear these words, and if you look through the different versions of the gospel, that our NRSV says welcome, but in other versions you hear receive or accept or greet. And there's very much this talking about being received, about taking out this message and how will it be received. And Jesus offers us two examples. The example of how the prophets were treated. Well, again, let's just pause and think about how most of the Old Testament prophets were received, welcomed, greeted, or even treated. Most of them pretty badly. Most of them rejected. So it seems an interesting point where Jesus is sending us out. And again, he's kind of, in a sense, reminding us that while we take his good news, very often it won't be received well. And it maybe put us into places of danger or difficulty. And again, we look on that in a place of privilege, of safety, which is difficult for us to maybe comprehend here in this beautiful corner of Mid-Sussex, that taking out a message of hope and love could be received in a way that would make us unsafe. Although maybe, I don't know, actually, maybe I'm being presumptuous there. In this world that we live in now, maybe actually even here in this beautiful corner of Mid-Sussex, it could be met with difficulty and argument. So you wonder if actually Jesus's message here is not just to his disciples, but it is to the people who will be welcoming them. Who will be saying, if you treat my messengers, if you treat the people I send to you as my hands, my feet, my eyes, like you did before, then maybe what's going to come to you is something. Or maybe it's just reminding us that this wonderful message that we carry is a difficult one. And then he talks of that weird word of righteousness. If you're received as someone who is righteousness, and again, it's one of those words, there's a lot of ink being spilt and spent on unpacking really what is righteousness. Again, I'm probably very poorly qualified to try and unpack it, but I think in a sense we're talking about being in a right position with God. And so if you receive someone who is in a right position with God, then surely that makes you yourself in a right position with God. In many ways, we're talking about hospitality. We've been talking about hospitality through the last few weeks, a kind of a radical one, one where both giving and receiving of hospitality puts us in a difficult place. It can be quite dangerous to welcome someone in and offer them hospitality. Again, that might sound a strange thing, but it is. But on a very basic level, just giving someone some water, the most basic thing that we need as a human, even before food, we need water. And this week, we needed water. I was slightly surprised that the taps didn't run out. Our electric went off once. And I thought any moment now, the taps are going to stop running because, like, you know, we can't cope with sudden heat. I'm sure there's a hosepipe ban on the way. But water is a very basic element. And again, it kind of got me thinking about, well, for us here today, you know, what is that hospitality look like for us? Engaging and sending out the message. And what do we need to give people at a very basic level? And I want to suggest that it actually, for a lot of people, it's not just nourishment. It's something else that I think in our society we lack. And I would suggest that's listening, being listened to. I wonder when the last time was that you felt you were truly listened to. And I don't just mean hearing. I mean a sort of a deep listening, which is actually a really quite a difficult thing. Because very often when we listen to people, we sort of interrupt because we just bring in our own selves into that conversation. And we always say the worst thing that you can ever say, which is, I know how you feel. Because we don't. And you fall into that trap. It's a bit like the how are you question. I wonder how many times you've asked that this morning. It's the worst question in the world, isn't it? Both to ask and to answer. I mean, am I truly going to tell you? Have you got the time for me to truly tell you how I am? And do you really want to? No. So I'm just going to say I'm okay. And that's where we leave it, and we've kind of done it. But true listening, deep listening, where you stop yourself and you just hear what the person is saying. I would suggest at a very root core of being human is quite a powerful, wonderful thing. To feel that you have been heard. And in a world where communication is so easy, in a sense, and so varied, the ways that we can communicate now are just, you know, the spectrum is huge, but I sense that we're heard less than we ever have been. And I sense that maybe we have less time to hear than we ever have done. And so I'd suggest to you today that as we're thinking about being sent out as disciples, as apostles of a message, that it's not just the message we offer, but it's the actions. And it's not just giving people hospitality and nourishment, a simple thing of water. It's maybe even more basic than that. It's listening and understanding. It's what Jesus is saying, we welcome and then we will be welcomed. But actually, sometimes when you listen to someone properly, they end up listening to you as well. It's one of a wonderful gift of ministry, and an unexpected one, has been ministry for funerals. It completely unexpected for me. It wasn't something, actually funerals kind of scared me before I was ordained, because, you know, I hadn't experienced many, and I was like, you know, that wasn't something. But it's actually been the one thing for me personally that where I've found God present the most. And when you sit down with a husband, a wife, a daughter, son, friend, whoever it is, or someone who's deceased, and you listen. I always start our funeral planning conversations with just tell me about the person. And we can spend half of that meeting just, and the number of times they've said, you know what, I haven't actually talked about the person so much since they went. And that's such a powerful thing. And to me, in my limited sense of what I have to offer as a minister, it just feels that is a point where I'm maybe doing what God wanted me to do, is listen and offer very little comfort. Because when someone is freshly bereaved, it's very difficult to offer much more comfort than listening. I was also drawn to remembering the five marks of mission. Do you remember those? They're still out there. As a Church of England, we still are supposed to be acting on them. And just to remind you that the five marks are to proclaim the good news, to teach the good news and baptize, to respond to need, to try and transform society and injustice, and to safeguard creation. And again, it's that third one, I would say, that kind of the others spin on, that responding to need. And the one that I think Jesus is asking for us to try and go out and action. Because there's so much in our world where need is not responded to, where listening is not happening. And that's why we have conflict and we have wars and we have an economy that is unbalanced. We have people who are homeless, who are in need. So I just ask you maybe this week as we go out and we walk with, knowing that Jesus walks with us. I'll read the prayer of Teresa of Avila again as I close. And it's an interesting reflection just to think that, you know, that that first word, Christ has no body. Well, I don't know where you are with the resurrection and ascension. Okay, so we think he, you know, he has a body and existence, but you know, that reflection that how he walks with us, through us, and uses us. And reflect that that is all based on love. So yes, he puts us in difficult places. But as we remember from other weeks recently, he never does it without giving us what we need. So let's pray. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all this world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen.